When I came here like 2.5 years ago, your pastor was in Amazon. And I thought, wow, what a responsibility. He trusts me. Now he's there again, so I think he does not like me. March is coming. So he goes, I want to share today, I want to share how the first thing is how much encouragement I have been getting from you folks during these years. You know, being in a missionary field, even working with people who speaks your language, kind of, because in Brazil, you know, when you go to the Amazon, deep in the Amazon, or in small, tiny, remote areas, the Portuguese is not like my Portuguese is. Some things mean different, and it's not a dialect, but the culture is super different. And even being in my country, sometimes is very discouraging. When you go to a place, people reject you, threat you, etc. Eventually, the Lord touches their hearts, some get saved. And when it happens in the process of planting a church, usually the community divides. Half of people think you are a godly person. Half of them think you are fake. Some people love you, some others hate you. And it's interesting because when most of people, they are afraid of this moment because it's not precisely easy, emotionally speaking, but this is the best time. Because we go there, we preach, but for example, in our case, my wife and I, we were living in a tiny little boat. Really, no restroom. Actually, there was two. One in the left board, another one in the right board. And when it was windy, the wash was for free, but it's awful, awful story. And when we go there and preach, share the gospel, half of them think you are okay, half of them don't think you are okay. They talk. And when they are talking, arguing to each other, usually the ones who are defending you, they speak what you were saying, telling them. And in the process of sharing what we told them before, some of them got saved. So what happened is, in some places, I was there, no saved. No one saved. No Christians. I leave, when I come back, some are saved. So I think I was bothering. But the Lord is the Lord. He touches people like you are. He speaks to us. And he's always out of the box. We can't hold him in a concept that we created. And I have been studying concepts in theology, missiology, missions for 30 so years. Not only in Brazil, out of Brazil. I got my bachelor, other degrees, master in missions, etc. And always studying. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, what really works is if you love him. And passion is an ingredient of love. Passion is not stable as love is. Passion goes, comes, and goes. Love is always there, but the power of passion is amazing. And people can say, "Oh, this guy's a Latino, so he's talking about being love." And but you know, when I got here. After some years, Pioneers, that is a North American organization, now it's much bigger, and you support Pioneers for many years. Praise the Lord for that. It's an international organization. I don't know, more than 4,000 members today. But they asked me to lead all the mobilization effort in Latin America. I was Latin America director. And I had to know Pioneers better in order to represent the core values of the organization. When I got the core values of your American organization, passion for God. It's not a Latino thing. It's it's about Christians. Passion for God. It's about It's about Christians. For example, 35 and a half years ago, I got in love with that beautiful girl that is more beautiful now. I'm cultivating this, like this passion in daily basis. Sometimes I get mad to her. And it takes only 5 minutes, or 15. She's saying this one day of an hour. No, don't ask her. But I'm quick. but I love her. And what is important for her is important for me. I think this is a very interesting ingredient of love and passion both together. What is important for you, it's important for me. We read the hearts and we respond to what's deep in those hearts when we love, when we have passion. During these last years, I have been thinking about my parents. My father, I was the first one with my sister to get saved in our country, spiritist, not like a voodoo, it's more like a new age kind of spiritism we used to be involved in the past. And we were the first believers. So eventually people got saved, like that guy, my mother, my father, my. And that's precisely my story. Everyone was coming to Christ, and my father joined us. So when we started, the Lord gave me the vision to reach 2,000 fishing communities, remote fishing communities, along the Brazilian coastline, and no electricity, no running water, simple people, cut off the society, isolated, who had never heard the gospel. My father was with me, great friend. Eventually, along the years, in many years, in many partnerships, almost 1,700 communities were reached. Praise the Lord. That was good. But now we look into the Amazon, 10,000 communities with no gospel. What I call Amazon window. 10,000 communities with no chance of hearing the gospel. Even more isolated. In our case, we had to travel like 1-2 days. In some places, even hours. There, weeks. Traveling by boat to get one of those communities. And now this is our newest goal. We are establishing a missionary base. Just happened last month. And 2 weeks ago, we sent a new missionary couple. April, one more. 16 people already in the pipeline. Some there, some in the pipeline to go and to establish a base in the Purus River. Purus River is the least reached river in Brazil. 1,222 communities with no gospel. Far, far from everything. My father is still there with me, praying, encouraging, by the age of 82. He's a great friend. My mother, oh, I just love them. During these last years, I realized that the word is not easy, fading. And that they need me much more than ever. And I start responding to their hearts. What is important for you, Daddy? I don't ask this each word, but the meaning is there. And I try to be more present in their lives. Even I travel a lot, it's running, but I try to be there for them. To understand what's important for them and respond to it. I think it's about love and passion. But what all these things I'm saying, what kind of relationship these things have with missions? Because I don't want to show you or to present you missions through a theological perspective. Nice and cold. But from a different perspective, the one I have been looking through during the last 5 years. What is important for Jesus? If I could ever find what his priorities are, I can respond to it in passion and love. Why not? And so I started searching my Bible. In what period of his time, of his life, Jesus showed his heart in a very clear, transparent way. And I think that he did it much more than in any other time during those 3.5 years. than in the 40 days between his death and resurrection. Because that was the last chance. Last chance. I have 40 days. So what I say now has to be important. It's a kind of summary. If I have to remind you of some things, I will tell you them now, just to remind you how important they are. He was showing his heart during those 40 days between death and resurrection. He was doing it. And that's interesting. I started reading through and learning more, going deeper, understanding, studying, and I saw that Jesus, a part of other things, appearing, showing him, telling people, he taught. His teaching came up 6 times. And I walk here during those 6 times. The 3 first times were close in Jerusalem or close to Jerusalem. Emmaus Road, 9, 6 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem. 3. Teaching. He could teach anything. And so, 2 times in Galilee. 1 time with Peter, another one with all the disciples. And again, close to Jerusalem, in Bethany. That's even closer to Jerusalem. In Bethany, when he finally went up to heaven. Just some minutes before going to heaven, he taught again. 6 times. What was his teaching? If I could get it, in this time, last chance, like someone in the lay in a bed close to death, when that person calls their beloved ones, he's not going to tell a joke. He's going to tell what's really deep in his heart. That was the last chance of Jesus. And look what he did. The first time was in Luke. In Luke 24, the Emmaus Road, there were two disciples talking and walking. And they were talking about the last news about this man, the Jewish prophet, Jesus, that was dead. They were talking about his death. The last word was resurrection, but for some reason, our eyes stop in death. Even resurrection is a reality. They were talking about his death. And Jesus started walking with them. They didn't recognize him at first. And they were talking and walking, or walking and talking. And in a particular moment, Jesus, you know, Jesus is not politically correct most of the time. All foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Let me tell you, you were talking about something and the prophets brought it to you in a clear way, but you are so lazy to understand it. And he kept saying, the Christ had to suffer these things and to enter in his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, so now Jesus is teaching, from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he showed to them in all these scriptures the things concerning to himself. So Jesus goes to the Bible, goes to the Old Testament, Moses, prophets, and tell those people what and teach them about what those scriptures were talking about himself. Look what the Moses and prophets talk about the Messiah. Those people, when they recognized Jesus, they ran to Jerusalem. They got there, talked to the disciples. 10 of them were there. Thomas was not there. All the others, the 10 and plus some others were there. And they started talking. We saw Jesus. That's true. He's alive. And we were walking and we knew because our heart was burning. We knew that something was there and he's alive. They were still talking when Jesus comes in. The doors were closed. The window shut because those disciples thought they killed the Messiah. We will be in trouble. He's powerful. We are not. They'll kill us. So they were locked in a place. Jesus comes inside and says, like John 20:21, peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, I also send you. The first thing the Lord, the resurrected, the first word, sentence, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, speaks to his disciples, future apostles, was a missions-oriented sentence. Just as my Father sent me, I send you. And started talking to those people. And look what happens in Luke 24, 44. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. In other words, it's not new. I told you before. So Jesus was not teaching a new thing. And he keeps going. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms. So he comes with the same prophets he spoke in the Emmaus Road, same Moses, same Psalms, and he speaks again. He teaches again. And now we know what? Because the Bible says what he spoke, what he taught. Look there. It's written, verses 46. It's written that was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from dead the third day. And that, pay attention folks, 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So when Jesus has the opportunity to teach, he teaches about missions. First time, what the prophets, Moses, talk about me. And second time, what Moses and prophets talk about me. But let me tell you, folks. And you tell me. He could speak about any subject. Any. He could talk about love. So important. Relationships. Or to talk about the Lord and all his beauty and power. But he didn't. He picked one subject, taught the same subject, and taught again in the same day. Missions. Oh, that's okay. You remember Thomas was not there. 1 week after, Thomas was there. That's what John 20 tells us. And then now, I need, if you want to open your Bible, like I do, I will keep John here and Mark here. Because both talk about the same day. So John 20 and Mark 16. These group of verses describe the third time Jesus teaches. What kind of subject he taught. Okay, verse 24. John 20, 24. And Mark 16 in the other hand. So John 20, 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, that was not them when Jesus came. The others, the verse 25 says that the others said, we saw Jesus. And Thomas responds, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Now Thomas is together. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Jesus comes again, 8 days after. And this is the first and only time during those 40 days that Jesus rebukes someone. Only time. And he does it. He looks into Thomas' eyes and says, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And he rebukes him. And Thomas answers and says to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, like we are. If you go to, we know that Jesus said something here, but we don't know the kind of teaching he brought up. Mark tells us. Go to Mark 16, 14. Now the verses are describing the second encounter with the disciples and the third time he teaches something, the resurrected Christ. Later, verse 14 of Mark 16. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelieving and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Missions again. It's becoming interesting now. Jesus, I think Jesus is showing his heart. What's priority for him? You know, when we love, a priority for that person is priority for us. First time missions, second time missions, third time missions. He could teach anything. He could pick any kind of teaching, but he picks missions again and over again. But it could be a coincidence. Let's go to Galilee now. Two encounters in Galilee, two times he teaches. First one in John 21. In John 21st, you will remember that Peter had denied him three times. No, I don't know this man. I don't know this man. I told you, I don't know this man. You remember that. Now, it's about three weeks after. And people ask me, why 3 weeks, Marcio? I said, the Bible does not say, the history does not say, books don't say. But I think that it was about 3 weeks because people were getting discouraged. And all the disciples. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, I'll meet you with you there. They came to Jerusalem, Jesus is not there. And one day Peter, tired of waiting maybe, this is just my guess, says, I'm going to fish. Peter was a fisherman. And Jesus took him from that life into this new perspective, being a fisher of man. And this man is going back to the fish, to the sea, that gave him so much comfort in the past, that gave him a meaning in the past. Now, the real meaning is not around. So what's the second choice? And I know that because I get discouraged when I'm far from my wife for 3 weeks. The first week when I'm traveling, I say, oh, this time I will be okay. I'm still okay. Second week, why did I do this awful decision again? Third week, I'll never do it again. I'm discouraged, willing to go home. I don't want to preach. I don't want to do. I just want to go and hug my wife for 48 hours. And so get mad at her again. Oh no, I don't do it. But now Peter is going to fish and he takes the others with him. He's coming back very early. The sun's rising, is there. Showing up. And this language is not easy, believe me. And it's still cold. You remember that in that area it's cold. For you it's just chilly. For me it's very cold. The morning is in that area. But Peter does not have his cloak because he's working hard. And now they look back into the beach towards the beach, and they see a man. And the man says, "Did you get something for anything for eating?" And they said, "No, we didn't get anything." Throw the net in the right side of the boat, and you know what happened. 130 so big fish, and they were working hard. And John looks, turns to Peter and says, this is the Lord, this is Jesus. Peter gets his cloak, jumps into the water, and swims to grace. Because Jesus represents grace always, even when you deny him three weeks ago. He's still grace. Jesus does not relate to us according to what we deserve, but what we need. This is the most beautiful ingredient in grace. He looks us through this perspective, what they need. Even we, all of us, being servants, and he being the Lord. That's does not make much sense, but he does it. He serves us. And Peter knew that. He swims and he starts, he gets there and Jesus talks to him. Some days, less than a month before, they were already in Jerusalem, last week of Jesus in Jerusalem, before dying. And Jesus put out his heart to them. I have sheep who don't belong to this flock. And talks about being a savior for all the peoples, all the nations, and all the families. What for a Jewish was not easy to understand. And now he talks about feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Three times to Peter. He says, do it, Peter. John 21, from 14 to 17. Sheep, my lamb, do you love me? So do it. And Peter understands the message. Again, Jesus is talking about missions. I have sheep who don't belong to this flock. I'm dying for them. Peter, go and share. Go and feed. Go and give them life in my name. Again, missions. And the last time in Galilee, and we go back to Jerusalem in my last 2 minutes, the last time is finally Matthew 28 that you know very well by heart. And I will start from 16, not 18, as we usually do. 16 says, Matthew 28, 16. And now they are on a hill, and Jesus is speaking to them, to his disciples, not only apostles, but some others. And Jesus is saying, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Then they saw him. They worshipped him, but some doubt. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will always be with you. Always be with you. I will tell you, being a pioneer in so many communities, the first believer to stop there and to share the gospel, I was with no team, but I was never alone. Never alone. Even once. The Lord was always there, encouraging, empowering, giving the words. Help me to understand people and respond to their needs. That was His love through me. I was never, ever alone. He will always be with us. Missions again. Fifth time, his teaching, he speaks about missions. Now the last one. They go back to Jerusalem. They are in Bethany, where Jesus had very close friends. One of them, he had resurrected him some weeks before. And now Jesus is there. Acts 1, and we finish. Jesus is there, and they are like in a conversation. Friends do it. They were talking. And the disciples, they brought up a very nice subject, the kingdom. Yeah? Kings love talking about kingdoms. And that's what they did. Oops, I'm John. Sorry. Acts 1:6. They asked, Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Or, did you understand what I said? Yeah, because I didn't. I know in Portuguese. Jesus could get that, look, is this the time you're going to restore your kingdom? Wow, that's a nice subject. That the kingdom was in his heart. He came to establish his kingdom. What opportunity! Jesus says, this is not your business. It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not your business. I will tell what is your business. But, in other words, it's not, but it is. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And preached and spoke and taught missions again. Six times the resurrected Christ taught. Only six. All of them, he spoke about missions. And now I ask, do you think it's a coincidence? I don't think so. I think that missions is in his heart. If I love him, I will respond to his heart. If I have passion for Jesus, I will be where he is. I will meet the deepest areas of his heart through my intentions and actions. I was, years ago, amongst the 5% wealthiest people in Brazil. By the age of 18, I already had a 3-room, completely paid apartment in the best area of Santos, that is amongst the wealthiest cities in Brazil. A new car, brand new car. The business were there, and I was studying mechanical engineering, ready to go. And the Lord took me from there. In one day, I became one of the poorest person in my country. For 3 years, I was not able to buy one piece of clothing for my wife. And we are eating at the end of the month. My father was always listening my requests. My father, earthly father, never heard about that. Because I knew he was going to respond to my finances. But my Lord was going to respond to my heart. So I talked to my Lord, and we never missed one meal in our lives, even one, because we didn't have anything to eat. The Lord always, the last time someone knocked on the door, oh, I got too much fish, would you like sharing? No, thank you. Since then to today, I understand that what I have and what I am, they are in completely different worlds. But I can serve what I am with what I have. So maybe you have something tonight or today. And maybe you can consider bringing it to Jesus. Responding to what you saw that is a priority for his heart. You have been praying for me for so many years. Thank you. Now I will pray for you if you don't mind. Oh Lord, it's so nice when you give us the opportunity to see you in a particular way, to understand your heart, and to be able by your Holy Spirit to respond to it. We, as your sons and daughters, we just surrender to you again, knowing that without you, we can't do anything, at least anything good. But with you, all things can be done. I ask in Jesus' name that you not only encourage these people who have been an encouragement for me for so many years, but also guide them to walk deeper towards your heart. Maybe to leave something behind. Walking by faith in response to you. Bless these people with obedience in Jesus' name. Amen.